Episode 39, Buddy Podcast.
Hey, it's good to be back.
You are Nate. You are Nate.
You're JW.
That's right, baby. That's right, baby. I've been saying that a lot. You know, the baby always gets a laugh.
It
never fails almost. I think because people aren't used to hearing somebody call him baby anymore. Try it. What's up, baby? That's right, baby. I say that one a lot. It's like, did you do this? I'm like, yeah, that's right, baby.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. First rule of robotics, baby. That's from Futurama, which is one of my favorite shows. And no, it's not first, it's second rule of robotics. And Fry is going to go spy on somebody. And he was like, Bender. Make sure nobody sees me. And he's like, second rule of robotics, baby. And I was like, I'm going to start saying baby. That's a true story.
You oughta.
Yeah. So what's up? What's up?
Well, let me tell you what. First and most importantly, I joined a new fantasy baseball league that's very nerdy.
How is it more nerdy than other fantasy baseball leagues?
So it's through the website Fangraphs. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Fangraphs is a cool site. They just have like all the stats ever, but they really focus on like advanced, you know, like sabermetric stuff. They have all the advanced stats and stuff. And so this fantasy game is predicated on like this point system that's based on these sort of advanced stats. And so like you have like $400 and you know the players all have like a cost that's based on an auction, and then you get points as they play through the year, and it's like a dynasty system. It just, once you're in, you just go, you know, indefinitely with your team. And I'm loving it. So
is there any money involved in this?
I pay money and I get nothing.
You don't even win any money?
They do have a higher tier where you can win a prize, but I just chose like the lowest possible tier.
Oh, okay.
Get my toe dipped in there. So.
Do they do like FanDuel for baseball also, or do they? Is that just a football
Yeah, they
thing?
Do that kind of stuff.
I don't even really know how that works.
I don't either. I've never really got bitten by that bug. Thankfully.
Have you ever been?
Thankfully for my bank account.
Yeah. Have you ever been bitten by the gambling bug at all?
No. I have gone to a casino once. I went for my brother-in-law's bachelor party. It's one of our local Indian casinos here.
Yeah.
And like I just brought a 20. And so I basically just played like nickel and penny slots all night.
With
and
the grandma.
I ended the night ahead enough that I was able to buy myself an ice cream cone and breakfast the next morning.
Oh wow.
And I'm like, you know what? I beat the house.
How much did you win if you bought breakfast?
I probably got like $35 out of that 20.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I had hours of entertainment.
Yeah, I guess that's what the deal is. Like, you bring enough money that you want. I'm only going to spend this on gambling. I've never won anything with gambling, ever. I just throw away. I bring money to the casino, and then I just throw it away. I don't know if I would be addicted to gambling, because I've never won.
I think you have to have at least a win in there somewhere to get addicted.
Yeah.
So, growing up, you know, my family had nothing to do with gambling at all. And then my wife's family has always been kind of interested. You know, they used to go on trips to Reno or whatever, like the whole family.
Reno, the whole family to Reno.
Yeah, exactly. The kids will be, you know, whatever in the arcade. And they talk about it. And it's weird because you go in there and like, it's just, isn't it like a really visual, like it's a really sensory experience in there. Like you're in there and the lights are bright because they have the new digital like slots and stuff. It's like these bright screens and these sounds are coming all the time, and then the smell is cigarette smoke.
Yeah, because it's in Nevada. Have you been to Reno real quick?
I've never been to Reno.
Okay, no. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Is it great?
No. Oh. It's like if Las Vegas is like, you know, a dude, Reno is the guy that the dude walks by on the street.
So Reno... Reno's
kind of scummy, a little scummy.
No, I think the trick for my wife's family was you could drive there relatively easily from Portland as opposed to Vegas.
And there's a circus there for the kids.
Oh, the kids.
Circus anyway, Circus is my favorite.
I don't know
why
we're talking
anyway.
About gambling, but the point is...
Oh, because of fantasy sports.
Oh, fantasy baseball. I just have no, you know, attention span anymore.
Because it's gambling. That shit is gambling, the FanDuel stuff.
That stuff definitely is. In fact, they've been getting in trouble with some
yeah.
states. But, you know, I was amazed because, you know, how much trouble Major League Baseball has gone throughout its history to distance itself from gambling.
Yeah, it killed Pete Rose's first son and himself, like sacrificed him.
Sacrificed Pete Rose.
Mr. Hustle.
You know, and to avoid any taint. And then, like, I was seeing, this is probably 2 years ago, like, in stadiums, there'd be, like, FanDuel's advertisements printed, like, in the stadium such that they would show up on the TV broadcasts. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not exactly wagering in the same direct way that Pete Rose did it or the way that the Black Sox did it. I'm like, but it's still definitely gambling, so... Anyway, yeah,
cause
I don't know.
They say that, like, oh, no, it's not gambling because it involves, like, skill or whatever. And I used to play fantasy sports with you when we were
yeah.
younger. And there was always, like, the one guy that always won, you know, and he was always
yes.
really good. But there's also guys that win in poker, like, every time they play, and that's still
yeah.
gambling. I mean, there's a certain amount of chance there. I remember I didn't get fantasy sports for a long time. Like, I just didn't understand... And I thought, like, I don't know what I was doing, but I remember in a basketball league, something like that, I kept on trying to, like, trade, like, a shitty player for, like, Shaquille O'Neal, like, over and over, and hoping that somebody would be a dope enough to take the deal. And finally somebody was like, stop.
Just stop
trying
it now.
Nobody's going to make that trade. And I was like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking, but okay, yeah.
So I'm going deeper because in order to be good in this league, because it's a league full of nerds, like, I'm not kidding you, I'm putting together a spreadsheet.
Oh, really?
So I got some projections.
Are you going to open source that shit, or are you going to Excel?
I've got it in LibreOffice Calc, so that's the same thing as OpenOffice.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's step one in your nerdiness is like, okay, yeah, everybody knows you got to get a spreadsheet, but what kind of spreadsheet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm a proud long time. Well, so I used to use it back when it was Star Office, when Sun Microsystems released it for free because they decided to give up on competing with Microsoft Office as a sole product. Then they open sourced it to be OpenOffice, and then OpenOffice forked into another project called LibreOffice due to drama. So yeah, I've been with this product for a long time.
I hate that open source drama. Gosh.
Yeah, it was drama. There's always drama. There's always drama.
There's always drama.
Just goes without saying. So anyway.
Anyway, so yeah. All right. Baseball, all right. They play like every goddamn day.
Yeah.
I mean, even just to play like fantasy baseball, like even for the first, like, just I don't care, and I'm just gonna. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does, especially if you have daily lineups that you have to check up on. And
yeah,
but that's what I need in my life.
It's like having a pet that could suck, you know. I guess, and you have to still take care of him every day. Except, I guess your team won't die.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Although there has been more baseball players dying. Who are there was a few, right, recently that have died?
Yeah, so, gosh, what's that guy's name? Shoot, I feel really bad. I feel like a total jerk.
Yeah, this is not good for your fantasy baseball credentials.
I know, I hope I don't draft him.
Well, you don't, you shouldn't. If
that
you
guy
the
who was the hothead
I guess
of Ventura. Yordano Ventura.
Yeah.
So he was infamous for beating some people, and at one conflict he was pointing at his head as if, like, you know, I'm gonna throw it at your head or something like that. Right. So he died in a car crash in Dominican Republic, which is one of the most dangerous places to drive in the world. And last I heard, he was driving drunk. So.
Uh-oh.
Don't drink and drive, kids.
No.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Was there another one, or was that, is there?
So there's another guy, Andy Marte, who was also in the Dominican on the same day, different car accident.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Same team? Did they know each other?
I'm sure they knew each other. I don't know who Marte played for, actually. I think he wasn't in the majors. I think he was a few years ago, but wasn't in currently. Okay. And then, of course, Fernandez at the end of the regular season, Jose Fernandez of the Marlins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, before those three, like, when's the last time a baseball player, or two, I guess, if that third guy wasn't playing, when's the last time that a baseball player or any professional athlete died in, like, in their career, in the middle of their career?
Yeah. So there's this guy, Oscar Taveras, who was one of the top prospects for the Cardinals, but he wasn't on the team at the time. He died in the Dominican Republic in a car accident.
Jeez.
And then, gosh, who would, there was a pitcher. Who was, there was a guy who died during the regular season. Daryl Kyle. Remember that guy?
No.
2002. He died of a heart attack. And then, like, in the, they went and found him in his hotel room or whatever. They're on the road.
It's all those amphetamines that they take all day.
Well, I won't know anything about that. you know, you never know. Young, healthy guys die of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I wonder if baseball still has that problem.
They've got all kinds of different problems.
Yeah. The greenies.
You know, so, I mean, part of the, it's always going to be an issue when there's so much money to be had.
And you know, there's like so many games in a season.
Free agency just finished up, and like how you play, you know, makes a big difference in the money you get. And what's really kind of crazy about the way baseball logic works is like the most important thing is how you play in the year right before you become a free agent.
Yeah.
So like if you can up it, you know, up your game for 1 year, yeah, and you're going to make twice as much, you know, that can cost people.
Well, that's what happened to, what's his name for the Giants?
Barry Bonds?
No, Barry Bonds. No, he was another guy. I forget his name. Who cares?
Melky?
Yeah, Melky. I mean, he got caught and he was having a hell of a season. But then the next year, once he was off his suspension, huge contract with like some bird name team. Yeah, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays, yeah.
Gosh, you know, Blue Jays have the worst song ever. They're like,
The actual bird.
Yeah. It's like, good, what is that? It can't be the most beautiful bird around here, is it? It's not like, and you know what? They're from the family, I forget what the animal orders are, the animal kingdom, blah, blah, blah. Genus. Yeah. It's from the genus Corvidae.
Mm-hmm. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Yeah. So it's Corvidae.
In fourth grade.
Can you name some other corvids that share that genus with it?
Try. Absolutely not.
Well,
I'm going to say woodpecker.
Something. I don't know. I don't know about that. Crows and magpies and ravens are related to blue jays. Anything with that really terrible.
It's just the sound. They're grouping them by sound.
Yep.
You know, I remember at a certain point, I think it must have been in college, maybe when I was in botany, because I was at a point where I had studied language, I had studied Greek, I knew a little bit of Latin, and I started being able to discern what the scientific names meant. And so it cracked me up because, for example, the scientific name for Doug fir, the tree, is just Douglas fir in Latin. Yeah. And then I started looking into it, you know, because we have like common names for plants. Let's just say, I don't know if this is actually the case, but like foxglove, you know, the flower called foxglove.
Sure.
Like the Latin name sounds all fancy and technical and it just means foxglove, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, I was like, oh.
Was it named before the foxglove or after? I mean, you'd think because it's Latin, it seems like it's before, but
it seems
it's
ancient. No, those labels are applied like later. So like the traditional names came first and then they gave a Latin name at a later time in almost every case. So
wonder why. I guess because everybody speaks Latin or more people speak Latin.
Oh, is it the fuzz?
It is the fuzz.
Get down.
Get down. Man.
The tone.
We came back this weekend from a trip, and like when we got back, it was a bummer. And then we looked out our window, and the city like chopped down like 70% of the trees right outside our window. So now we have like no privacy whatsoever. It used to be really beautiful. Like it used to be really, really beautiful outside the windows. Like you couldn't see across the street even. Nobody could see in. And there was just these huge trees, and there was like tiny little birds in there. And then like hummingbirds would like come up to our window to like eat out of the, and they're, it's gone. Like, I can't believe it. And I looked up like the, how they were supposed to do it. How they're supposed to trim the trees, because just this last election, the people of San Francisco voted for the responsibility of the upkeep of the trees from the building owners to the city. So the city takes a hold of it and totally butchers the trees. So I looked up the standards. I found like the memo online, you know, of like, and
all right.
Yeah. So then I looked it up, and they were like, only don't take more than 25% of the cover of the tree. Don't cut big limbs off of small limbs, and they did that. So I found the number of the head of the planning department, and I called him, and I laid into him. Oh my gosh, I tore him apart. Like it
was
felt
a catharsis?
So good.
Just like,
it was a catharsis. Yes, it definitely was a catharsis. Just everything in my life just going into this guy. He's like, you know what? I get back this weekend. You know what I was there for? And bye, I look out my window and I see this tree. It's totally fucked up. Get your shit together. And like, oh man, I was so mad. I was livid at these that they cut these trees. I'm still mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go to a plant store or something and buy some like, trees, actually, we're gonna buy some lemon trees and stuff, and like other citrus trees, because you can grow those inside, and we're gonna put them up so people can't see in our goddamn windows anymore.
Yeah, so tell me about, you have to wear pants now, is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, it's like, because we don't have our blinds pulled in our house, so like tons of natural light gets in, and also nobody can see our balls and butts. So
yeah, that's important to That's value.
Yeah.
Right there.
I don't like that. Like, I pulled all the blinds in my room right now because I was, like, you know, getting ready, and I looked across the room, and there were some people, like, looking at me across the way, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. You're right. That is a ugh.
Don't like that. Don't like that one bit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I don't know. We're just talking about life, and I'm just going to put in it. I'm just going to be, it's Nathan's turn. For a plug. I got some plugs.
All right.
Number one. Will Eisner, comic book artist, old timer. You ever looked at his stuff?
No. I don't know.
It's pretty cool. It's old school. And he drew mostly just ink or pencil drawings. And he did a long-running comic strip called The Spirit. But what I was looking at is he has some graphic novels. In fact, one of which was the first thing to ever be marketed as a, quote, graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called A Contract with God.
Yeah.
And it's actually four short stories in one. And then there's another one called New York Life in the Big City, which is a big collection of four, like, graphic novels together. Mm-hmm. And I just really like his storytelling. I really like his art. And it's pretty cool. If you just want to check it out. It doesn't take long to read a graphic novel, so.
Well, it can if it's good.
You know, oh yeah, it can.
I take my time
but
with
if you
graphic
hate
novels.
Art, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
if
well, there's
too
so
dumb.
Much in there. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I used to kind of fly through them, and then as I got older, I take my time. But yeah, A Contract. I'm looking at Contract with God, late 70s. Is it any good? Is it
Yeah, I thought it was good. It's good, and. While we're on the recommendation train, I received for, gosh, was it Christmas? Yes, I received an album that I asked for because I'd heard bits of it from Margaret Glaspie, and it's called Emotions and Math. And Margaret Glaspie, she just plays like straight ahead, like guitar, bass, drums, licks, and it's pretty good. I like it, and it it's kind of, I've been listening to it and it's so simply produced that it reminds me, do you remember the lo-fi sound of, what was that band that was the lo-fi? Dang it. Oh, my brain doesn't work tonight.
She's a fox.
The record was called, Is This It?
Oh, The Strokes.
The Strokes. You remember when that came out and we were all like, oh man, you
know, it was
album of the decade.
Well, yeah, it changed rock music, pop music for a while, you know.
Yeah,
it definitely did.
And so that the Glasby, this Margaret Glasby's given me a vibe. And now what's kind of funny too is I've been listening to it and I thought I've realized she's young and she writes, she mostly writes like, you know, like love song, breakup song, etc., with a few more that are a little bit more, have a little bit more touch maturity to them. But I realized that, like, I've gotten older and I don't normally listen to that kind of stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was cracking up because I've come to, I sort of like Mark Knopfler's recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Knopfler sings about things like boats and cars and stuff.
Yeah.
And then let's say old man songs. We're like, yeah, we're done with singing about women.
Huh.
Let me tell you about a car.
Let's see.
I always
here.
Wanted.
Let's see here.
So, oh, they're gonna Glass play. Glass B. If you want to listen to some straight up, simply produced guitars. When I got you by my side,
everything's all right. Oh man, I don't know, man.
You can do it.
I just don't care for that white girl voice. You know what I mean?
What do you got against white girls?
She's kind of cool, I guess. Let's see. Oh, seventh position chord. I love those.
The way she
is that from a newer album?
Songs together reminds me of like just me playing guitar in my bedroom in high school, and it's just like a whole like happy feeling that is working for me.
Yeah,
so that's it.
If you had a ton of money to produce it a lot better. I mean, they're simply produced. Is this one not from her first album?
I think, no, this is her debut, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, this one's that song we just listened to? Oh, yeah, debut albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's cool, I guess.
No, you don't. It's okay if you don't like it. You don't have to like it.
No, I haven't only heard, you know, like, part of one song. Like, let's see here. I guess, like, I had a teacher in college, and he gave to somebody else, he gave like the best advice ever. It was like this, it was a drawing. It was a, you know, pretty good drawing. It took some skill to make it. And then he had a post-it note and it just said, this needs to be more fucked up. And it was like the perfect critique of this like little note that he gave. It's like, this needs to be more fucked up. Like, I think that, I think that that's what I would say to Margaret Glasby. Is like, oh girl, you're almost there, but this needs to be more fucked up.
She's just a child. You don't know what's gonna come of her.
How old is she?
I don't know. She seems like she looks like she's like in her youngish 20s, I would guess. So
yeah,
she's just a kid.
All right. Do you like Bazin's new album, the electronic one?
Which one specifically?
Didn't he just release a new album of like electronic music?
Yeah, Blanco?
Yeah. Is there another one?
Well, it's complicated. So he, for a couple of years, did this thing called Bazin Monthly, where like he put out two songs a month. And those 20 songs I really like. And Blanco took half those songs and did them. In some case, I think he just like remixed them and remastered them, but in a few cases he re-recorded parts. And I have this problem with him. Every time he redoes a recording of a tune, I don't like it. I never like it. And because like I think he's definitely someone who he has an idea of something that he wants to work towards, and he knows he doesn't always do his perfect the first time, and he wants to achieve something better. And especially when you have a schedule like that where you have to put out two songs every month, like, okay, that's going to lead to some rushing. However, I feel like there was some sort of art through adversity effects that came through on the monthly cuts that made them better in my ears than when he could spend as much time as he wanted polishing them. Actually, just got a new marketing email from him like today saying he's going to release another album that has a few cuts from the Rejected 10, which is good because there are some good tunes in there and some other new stuff. But I mean, like, he's got that electronic sound, is he's doing good with that, I think. Like,
so you liked it? I don't know. I haven't given it a good listen yet.
Yeah, he's doing some interesting stuff. I mean, part of it's a function of the fact that he's all by himself and has to, you know, find a way to make the record that way. And then he decided, you know, because you remember he made the headphones record.
Yeah.
Did you hear that one? Yeah. So he did that, and he, you know, he you knew he was interested in that, but that wasn't his core brand that he built with Pedro the Lion and then partially imported to just using his name for his title. He was, you know, the indie rock sound, and so it was difficult for him to change that because he was gonna cause problems for his listenership and lose listeners. But so he came out and said, by the way, for the monthly release thing, that was not a great plan because it didn't sell like they thought it would, and then people kind of gave up on him because he didn't put out a record for like 3 years, and they didn't know about this monthly thing. So.
Yeah, well, I mean,
seller, artist beware of that kind of subscription style production.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, unless you can do it for like no money, but you kind of have to be working on something else, I guess. I mean, nowadays you just have to constantly be releasing music, it seems like. And it's easy to do. I mean, it's really easy to do to release it, but yeah, I mean, his stuff gets better. I think every album gets better. So hopefully, once I give Blanco a new listen.
He's getting good and better, and he's growing, you know, he's growing, and things change for him, and his songs are always good. They're never trite. And he's doing good things. So I always pick up his stuff whenever it comes out because I'm just addicted. You know, speaking of the changing your sound, I know I wanted to chat a while back about Bon Iver. I call him Bon Iver. It's probably like Bon Iver or something. Anyway, we call him what we want on Buddy Podcast.
Yeah.
You got a problem with that? Screw you, listener.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Screw you, buddy.
Justin Vernon, who's the main guy behind that band. First two records of theirs were very, to give an example, for one of them, he went and like lived in a cabin in like remote woods of Wisconsin or something like that for months to write and do demos of this record. And so like it's got, you know, it's a lot of like acoustic guitars and very indie sounding lo-fi, etc. And then this latest record he put out is like a lot of electronica to the point where it's almost like as far into what I could almost call avant-garde as what can be given a normal commercial release. Like it really kind of stretched things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had trouble with that record when I first listened to it because I was like, this is so different. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I kind of hate the song titles too.
Oh yeah, he made all the song titles be ridiculous with like emoji and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like and,
So it took me a while to kind of get that. Now, what I do like about him that I thought was clever was his second record, the previous one, which is self-titled. The last track like veers off in the left field because all of a sudden there's like 80 synths and a saxophone playing, and you're like, you know, it doesn't quite go into like full Peter Gabriel, but you get the 80s feel and you're just like, oh my gosh, what's he doing? And then that was his clue, right? He's like, this is what I'm going to do next. So he did that. And then the next record has a lot of saxophones on it. And then he's doing stuff with auto-tune and vocoders and all this funny stuff that like is, you know, there is a, there's a live performance of them playing this record, and they play it pretty convincingly, even with the high level of production.
The NPR one?
The NPR one. And when I listened to the live and watched them play it live, it actually kind of made, the songs kind of made more sense to me, I guess, in a weird way.
Yeah.
But
you know, that happens a lot. There's some bands I was like, I do not like this band at all. And then I heard them live, and then I was like, okay, I get it. You know, and then
yeah,
I
you get it. Yeah,
them.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a funny thing with Bazin. I don't know if I ever really would have dove into him if I hadn't seen his live show first.
He's very attractive person, like his personality. Yeah, he's like he asks every time I've seen him. He does this like little question and answer thing, which is, I don't know what I'd feel like if I saw it again, but because it seems like everybody's like, why don't you believe in God anymore? And he's like, oh shit, you know. Like, I wonder if he regrets that. I wonder if he regrets. Sorry, my lens just fell out of my glasses somehow.
Oh my gosh. Quit being poor.
I need to get. I'm thinking. Yeah, no kidding. I know. I have duct tape holding together my glasses, so I may look cool.
Should
but
we do a fundraiser?
Closer inspection.
Should we do like a charity buddy podcast? Buy JW glasses.
I'm thinking about getting laser eye surgery actually, but the thing is, the glasses, like, it's a part of my look. It's like they're like a part of my face now. I feel weird. Yeah, I would feel weird about getting rid of them. Yeah, so. I don't know, but I want to get rid of them because, like, my lens falls out and I'm fucked. My eyes have gotten a lot worse. Like, or if I'm, like, hiking or something and I lose my glasses, like, I could be in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yeah, whatever. Hey, so we talked about The Strokes, Is This It? That kind of changed rock and roll. Let's play a game where we name other albums that changed rock and roll.
Changed.
I'll start. Nirvana, Nevermind. That's an easy one. Changed rock and roll.
That is an easy one. That one was at a weird position too, because it rebuked the triteness of the previous things, which were kind of called grunge. I'm thinking specifically of some of the other Seattle bands.
Like Pearl Jam?
Like Kurt Cobain kind of rebuked that because his stuff was kind of silly in a weird way, but it felt more powerful, like, in, you know, than Evenflow or whatever.
Yeah, they were a pop band for sure. Like,
yeah,
those are pop songs.
Oh yeah, look where Dave Grohl went. I mean, so it was a weird thing that happened. He's like, you can't explain that. Joshua Tree.
How did that change everything? It just made everything stupid for a while.
Well, no, that Joshua Tree killed the 80s, right?
The
80s sound at that
What
point.
Year did like, that album come out?
When did it come out? They're doing like a 30-year anniversary
tour
where they're just going to play it.
It's a good record. I think it's like kind of their only good record, but I don't really
It is my favorite by quite a distance, I would say that. I think it came out in 87 or 88. They're actually going to do a tour where they just play the record in sequence, apparently.
For some reason, I thought that Joshua Tree was their first album, but no, it's their fifth album.
No, yeah, they were well established. Well, you know, when they first came out, they were marketed as a Christian band, not as a normal pop, you know.
Oh, really?
Band. So they didn't have a very big release or exposure early on. So
yeah, formed in 1976. Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that's a good record. Yeah, I guess I'll buy that. Killed the 80s sound. All right. There was Master of Puppets kind of killed glam rock.
Killed Metallica's previous.
Yeah, killed everything around them.
You're right. That song also marks the point at which, you know, Metallica faithful felt rejected because they thought they sold out to a more pop audience.
No, that was the you're thinking of the Black Album in 1991. I'm talking about Master of Puppets in 1986.
You're always right.
Master of Puppets, and even if you don't like metal, if you just like good records, that's an amazing record. I've been listening to it a lot lately. It's an incredible record. And actually, 1986 was a great year for metal. So Slayer had Rain and Blood, also a great record. So, that's a record that killed.
Okay,
big
ones,
Wasp and all that bullshit.
Yeah, gosh, I'm trying to think of more recent ones, and I just don't know if it's too soon or if I just hate music because I'm already an old man.
Yeah.
Obviously, Random Access Memories kind of just.
It brought disco back into the forefront, I guess.
It created a black hole around everyone else.
I feel like
this sucks.
Yeah, it's like there was a lot of electronic I don't know, that song, that album, I don't know if it changed a whole bunch, but I think it was definitely an education for people who would listen to it. It was like, because there was a whole bunch of electronic music being made, like in bedrooms and stuff, and then Daft Punk came and said, like, here's Giorgio Moroder, and, Moroder. You know, and here's Niles, fuck, what's his name?
Let's call him Billy.
You know, the guy, gosh.
Nope. Anyway.
The guy from, the guitar player from Chic, Nile Rodgers. Here's Nile Rodgers. He played guitar on, like, every song you've ever heard, you know?
Yeah. How would you describe the production of that record? Because it's definitely, like, classical technique, but it's just so perfectly executed.
Los Angeles,
it's
baby.
Kind of amazing.
They recorded it in Los Angeles. It kind of felt like a, like, disco Los Angeles record.
I really appreciate what they did with that.
It's incredible. And okay, it's mixed so well. In fact, there's this interview I saw with the guy who mixed it. Oh my gosh. He is if you think like cool LA guy mixing Daft Punk album, you are thinking of the wrong guy. You're thinking of like, picture comic book guys, like nicer older brother. Like that's the guy who mixed that record. He's like a really cool dude too. Yeah.
That's amazing. You can't explain that.
No.
Okay. I don't know what else changed. You know, it's hard. I mean, so then we have the genre issue going back, because there was some big, like, so like Carole King's Tapestry. Big deal.
You know, wife has been watching Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
And she wrote the theme song to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She has a lot of hits.
Yeah,
she has written a lot of songs.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know anymore. We're done. No,
well, what about before that in the 70s? I mean, there's all that classic rock stuff, but what was like the first? I mean,
That's hard to mark.
Maybe the Beatles.
Well,
the Beatles. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper changed music forever, that's for sure.
That is true. I agree with that. In fact, I hear pieces of that record all over the place. All over the place.
Yeah.
And actually, you remember Starflyer's record, Leave Here a Stranger, like explicitly referenced Sgt. Pepper's things in it. Like, I mean, not explicit, like they didn't copy the song lyrics, but like the sort of musical tropes and techniques and stuff they use in there. I'm like, he must have listened to that record for a while right before he cut this one.
He probably listened to it without his whole life and put it in there without ever even knowing.
Yeah, without realizing it. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah. You know, it's that like Beach Boys' Pet Sounds came out like the same year or something like that. That's a great record. Speaking of playing concerts from beginning to end, we saw Brian Wilson and Al Jardine play Pet Sounds from beginning to end, and it was awesome.
Was it good? Was it fun?
It was so good. So,
all right. So,
good.
So does Radiohead crack it with OK Computer?
I don't think so. I mean, it didn't really change anything, I don't think.
It was kind of a big deal, but they were still in their own silo. No one else really got on board.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was a few commercial hits, but yeah, not so. Yeah, I would say no. But it's a good, it's a great record.
Yeah.
Great record. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, new ones that have changed things.
Might be too soon, but
I mean, what's going on right now? I don't even know anymore.
I don't know.
Just shitty pop music. I mean, it's not all shitty. Some of it's really good, you know. But
yeah, I'm sure it is. I don't know.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I watched the second half of it. And so the first half, I was kind of grumpy because
it was so
our
boring.
Kitchen sink got flooded. So it backed up, and I could not get the plug out. So basically, long story long, wouldn't drain. I tried all my tricks, including so you know we have a double kitchen sink and we lost the thing that like plugs the one side.
Okay.
And so I had to double plunger that baby. I had to put one plunger in one side just to hold the seal and the other plunger to, you know, work it.
Wow.
Didn't work. Had to go to Home Depot to buy a little snake.
Yeah.
Snaked
which
is it out
nice
a bit.
To have. Yeah, snake's nice to have.
Still didn't drain, but then the next time I plunged it, it broke through. So then, by then, Lady Gaga's singing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. She's a very charming woman. It's just she sings songs and everyone's having fun. And I'm like, this is, if I was the kind of person who liked having fun, I would like this song.
Did you? I thought it was so funny at the beginning. She's like singing and then she jumps off and I couldn't stop laughing. And everything I've read about the Super Bowl performance doesn't mention the fact that that was hilarious. Just singing.
Well, and she did that again at the end, right? Where she jumps off and the camera doesn't pan. Oh, no. What happened to Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
But
Lady Gaga.
That was a cool thing that happened. And then, you know, the drones or whatever. I mean, and then the comeback, the Tom Brady proving
oh my gosh
sometimes evil wins
that he is the greatest of all time, man. Like my favorite part of the Super Bowl though was Roger Goodell getting booed. That was so good. And he hated it too. It was just nice. That's why I wanted the Patriots to win, for that reason.
So when they were coming down on one of the last drives and Edelman caught that ludicrous tipped ball.
Yeah.
Like that miraculous nutty catch.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, they're going to win. The Patriots are going to win. They're going to win. Yeah. I was like, it's inevitable. It has to happen.
At first, I was just like, God, I hate football so much sometimes. Like, because it was so boring. I hate any football game that's just not the best game ever is the worst. Like, it's just
16
sucks.
Minutes of play time. Someone clocked it, including regulation and overtime, there's 16 minutes of the ball being in play. So
yeah, I mean, like, it's such a boring game. And then it doesn't help the commercials. I mean, just after every, when I played football, there's no timeout after the kickoff.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding? You just get the ball and then you go. Like, that's it. And there's
you
this,
go. Keep playing.
There's not like 5 minutes to like sit around doing nothing. And I mean, like, and college is even worse. College football games now last like upwards of 4 hours. 4 hours.
Yeah, and they start at like 7 p.m. too.
Gosh,
ludicrously.
It's ridiculous. Why?
Well, TV ruins everything. It's like, so Major League Baseball, for example, one of the things they're proposing is for intentional walks, you just being able to signal it instead of having to actually throw four balls.
That sucks.
And like it takes like what, a minute, and it only happens every 5 games. And it's like, it's weird because Major League Baseball has to try to like trim, you know, trim the nail to the quick to try to get the game shorter when the obvious cause of games being long is commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because it makes the you know, the time between innings longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, I don't think that they need that much warm up in between the innings.
Correct. They don't. But they need the money. So. Yeah. It's like, you know, when people complain about when sporting events start because they start so late, like the Super Bowl started at what was 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30 Eastern.
Baseball World Series games start at 8 Eastern. And the reason they do that is really simple, because that, so they want it to be in prime time at peak ratings.
There's another cup
on
another
the East
cup
Coast.
Driving by.
And you can't do it earlier because the game might not be interesting in prime time if you started earlier, right?
Say that one more time. Like, a cop was driving by. I didn't hear that. Say that one again.
Cops,
sorry,
man.
Sorry.
What are we? Are we gonna take this?
I don't
are
know.
We gonna stand up and fight these cops?
I know, man.
Anyway, they're cutting down trees.
Yeah, I'm gonna set something on fire. Get their ass over here.
Ruining our podcast. Yeah, yeah, I'd like to talk to them. Get them on
I'm
the show.
I'm gonna call them.
Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about?
You were
about?
Talking about why baseball is so long and that about commercials. Oh, yeah. And then having to start it later on the East Coast, but not avoiding prime time or something.
Yeah. So they have to start the game. So the only part of the game that's guaranteed to be interesting and have high ratings is the beginning, because like you never know, like there could be a blowout starting in the second inning and then people turn off the game. And so they have to put the ad, they have to put the ad content, the most valuable time at that time of the night. And so that's why the game starts then. And it sucks that your little kid has to like stay up all night and be a zombie or else miss the World Series.
Yeah.
But the problem is baseball is designed to sell advertising, not to inspire little kids. So it's just
too bad.
It's a bummer. I mean,
I don't know. We should probably talk about politics a little bit.
Oh yeah, politics.
This kind of goes into
We've recorded since the inauguration, we have literally the entire Trump presidency to discuss.
Man, this is rough. You know, did you hear a few hours ago? They silenced Elizabeth Warren to not talk during the Jeff Sessions nomination or vote or whatever. She can't say anything. They silenced her.
Oh wow!
For reading a Coretta Scott King's letter opposing Jeff Sessions all those years ago, and you know what? You know what they use? Senate Rule 19, which says that you cannot bring like derogatory comments or talk ill about another senator. Jeff Sessions is a senator, but he's running. He's being nominated for attorney general. And they silenced her because of that. Meanwhile, and it was a vote along party lines, of course. And then meanwhile, like the day before or after the Muslim ban, Chuck Schumer actually cried on the floor of the Senate, and a Republican went up and like mocked him for it. And he didn't get silenced for that. I mean,
A Republican told Ron Wyden he needs to take a Valium a few weeks ago, and that didn't.
Yeah,
I don't think that guy got silenced either. But
no, and then so Coretta Scott King, her letter about Jeff Sessions, but it's kind of backfired. Now everybody's reading that letter about Sessions.
Yeah, you know, and today also I read this. When I heard it, I was like, I don't think that's ever happened before. And then it was confirmed by a Senate historian today. When Betsy DeVos was confirmed 51-50 by Mike Pence in the Senate, it's the first time ever there's been a vice presidential tiebreaker for a cabinet nomination.
Yeah.
Ever. In the entire history of the Republic.
I mean, I can't believe she got nominated. I really can't. You know what? Actually, no, I should be able to believe it. She's donated over $200,000 or $200 million to the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Gosh, Trump is really building that swamp. He really is.
Let's find out. Let's go backwards.
I'm just going to get madder.
That's made you the least mad or most happy.
Oh, the nixing the TPP for sure. I love that.
Nixing TPP.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. I was very happy about that.
How about I was really happy that he made a mockery of the National Prayer Breakfast.
Yeah.
Because that is such a ludicrous display. And when he got up there and asked people to pray for Arnold's ratings, I was like, oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, I don't know if he meant it that way exactly, but I was like, yeah, let's make a mockery of the National Prayer Breakfast. Yeah. I agree with this.
I agree. Let's do it. I agree that like before the Super Bowl, I mean, he said that he respects Putin and Russia, you know what I mean? And that's, we don't want to be on that level. You know what I mean? Like that's no good. But he did say one thing. It's just like, well, like, what do you think? We're so innocent? We don't kill people? And he's right. We're not so innocent. But that does not mean that you respect an authoritarian regime who silences the press and kills dissenters. You don't do that. Even though we might have done it, you don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. I was getting... So I've been listening to this podcast called Hardcore History from this guy Dan Carlin. And he does these amazing shows where he just talks you through some historical events. And he's doing one on it's called Destroyer of Worlds, and it's about the nuclear era, nuclear weapons. And they're talking about how destructive those weapons were, and then but how actually more people got killed than just normal bombings that the Allies carried out. And I went and looked on Wikipedia, and there, if you want to see some pictures of some charred human remains in Tokyo, Wikipedia is your friend.
That
being said, the United States has shown it is ready and willing to do incredible acts of brutality when it serves its strategic ends. Now, I don't think it's particularly useful for politicians to kill journalists in this country. That wouldn't help anything for the most part.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe in Russia, the people in power do that because it does make a difference because the structure of their society is different. But I always like think it's naive for people to think, oh, we're so good now. We don't do bad things. I'm like, well, we don't kill civilians because we haven't fought an industrial power in war where it would actually help to do that. If we did, we'd probably be doing that again.
Well, and that's,
I mean, in Vietnam, we burned down the forest, you know, like the crazy acts.
Yeah, the government learned during Vietnam also that the American people can't be controlled with state force, you know what I mean? Yeah. So now they have to go to different routes to control us, namely defunding education. So Betsy DeVos, great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So I'm going to do some looking up on this because so the Federal Department of Education, I guess I don't know what all their funding goes to. I know part of it goes to grants to schools, and I know part of it goes to, I know they like administer like the federal Pell Grants and the loan guarantee programs for colleges, and they have a charter thing they do as well. I don't know how much like your average school district actually gets from the federal government or not, because those are almost always funded through local state things, funding streams. So I don't know. I mean, she's going to be no bueno. I think a lot of school districts, if they want to, will be able to insulate themselves from her influence. And then I also had a really cynical thought that maybe this is a plan by the Republicans who have always wanted to get rid of the Department of Education to defund it. Like, if we put her in charge, the Democrats will agree to reduce their funding.
Well, I mean, like, and I think for me, it's just like, you know, it's just another, you know, wealthy donor, you know what I mean? That's right there with him. I think it's a disgrace how he lied to the American people about, like, who he's going to... I mean, the head of the fucking Fed is just got done, you know, being the head of Merrill Lynch or whatever, Goldman Sachs. You know what I mean?
Oh, the head of the Treasury?
Yes. And, like, he has more billionaires in his cabinet than any other president. I mean, it's, like, it's crazy the about-face he did in regards to those things. And I think that's probably the most disgraceful thing he's done so far is appointing these billionaires in positions where, I mean, they want to get rid of Dodd-Frank. You know what I mean? It's like we put that there for a reason and he wants to get rid of it. Oh, because the American people can't get loans. It's like the American people, yeah, the people who run, you know, the investment banks are American people. But when you say American people, like, everybody thinks something else, you know? And, like, it's disgusting to me, you know?
So, what do you think about the comment, any negative polls are fake news?
I think that shit is scary too, man. What, has he already kicked the press out of the White House? Because I know he was talking about that.
Has not happened yet. I don't think they actually have a different place for them to go at the moment. But they'd have Skype correspondence, though. I don't know if you've seen that.
I mean, the job of the media. Host,
Lars Larson. I don't know if you remember Lars Larson.
Yeah, I do.
He asked a question in a press briefing via Skype the other day.
It's like, oh, what was that? You're breaking up.
You're breaking up. Actually, he called Sean Spicer Commander Spicer because Spicer's a commander in the Navy. I don't know why he would call him that in the context of a press briefing, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then he's blaming the judge who put a stay on his order and for anything bad that might happen. And it's been kind of a train wreck. Like, it's I guess the first thing I think about him, because it's really hard to know his motivations on certain things. Some things are obvious, but like him and his people are just not good at being the president.
Yeah.
They kind of suck at it. Like, they don't know how to do it. And I guess, you know, we shouldn't be surprised at that because they're mostly outsiders.
That's what we wanted, or what a lot of people wanted, but
yeah, you can definitely get to see the value of people who are experts in government. Like, they're a good thing to have around.
Yeah.
Right? They know how to implement an executive order in such a way that does not cause chaos and confusion.
Yes. I mean, then what do you think
even
about
if it's a bad executive order?
What do you think about Steve Bannon being right there, like writing all those executive decisions?
Yeah, so I had cooled off on Bannon because I read some of his thinking. I was like, okay, I don't know. I thought for a while, I was like, well, I think some of the charges of him being anti-Semitic might be overblown, et cetera, et cetera. But then, like, when he kind of, I don't know if we should call him like a Rasputin, when he gets such a level of influence that doesn't make sense for his station, like the guy was the editor of a news website.
Yeah.
Why is he the most trusted advisor? Then like the paranoia starts kicking a little bit. Like this guy doesn't, you know, he says he wants to be disruptive and he doesn't necessarily have the same interests at heart that I do. And I get a little squidgy, especially when there's insinuations in reporting that, Trump didn't know that his executive order about the National Security Council was changing Steve Bannon to be a regular member of it. Like, that stuff makes me feel weird. That's not right.
I don't know. I really hate their attack on the press too. And it's coming from Steve Bannon saying like, the fake news. And it's just like, you are the epitome of fake news. You know, I mean, like you ran.
You know, Trump is the guy who was touting the reporting prowess of National Geographic, who arguably invented fake news.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was saying about, oh, well, they're right about Jonathan Edwards. So maybe they're right about Ted Cruz's dad killing JFK.
Gosh. And I mean, like, it's crazy that people are the mainstream media, the mainstream media. Gosh, I know I've said this on the show before, but this is, what media? What media? Hello? What do you mean when you say media? Do you know what the word means? A media is a medium. You can think of it as somebody who, a medium for ghosts. What do you think that medium is? It's a way to communicate with somebody else. That's what media is. So if I can go, paint a fucking picture of Trump pissing on the Constitution, and that's media. You know what I mean? Like that is a painting media. And so I hate that. But besides that, the job of the mainstream media is to be in opposition to the people in power. That's what they're supposed to do in a democracy. And it's like, it's crazy to me that they're like, oh no, they called the press the
opposition party.
Yeah. The opposition party, the press. That's scary. That's really scary. And he's going after the federal judiciary now, and that's really scary.
And lying about saying the press isn't covering terrorist attacks.
Yeah, I think that
was pretty much beyond like through the looking glass for me. I was like, what?
Yes, yes. And like the thing is, our education system in this country is so bad that people and we have a culture where it's, you know, Patriots versus Falcons, you know, Red Sox versus Yankees. People won't actually step back for a second and realize, hello, Republicans, the guy is in bed with Russians. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's putting billionaires, Goldman Sachs, in these positions ahead of the Treasury. But I don't know how nobody's telling them all this. Or if they are, how they're not listening to it. You know? I mean, although there's pretty big protests all around the country in his second week in office, people are starting to listen. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Now, I've heard a different take on that because someone wrote an article out of Venezuela talking about the experience with the populist Hugo Chavez down there, saying resistance to him, which came by way of freaking out constantly, didn't work because people couldn't sustain it. Mm-hmm. And they said they thought a better tactic was to just treat him like any other politician, just do, you know, the traditional political resistance to him. So I've been amazed that the outrage has continued and the protests have continued longer than I thought. You know, that when the travel ban thing happened, like people I knew from my Facebook feed were at the airport in Portland protesting, and you know, people were mad. So
and as they should be. Like, and I think that this really kind of woke up our generation, at least. You know what I mean? Like people are gonna start doing stuff now instead of just clicking you know,
clicking on things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the one thing that kills me more than anything, and almost like just, it's really hard to go on, is the disgraceful, shameful way that Mitch McConnell stole the Supreme Court seat from Merrick Garland. Like, it's that's a despicable, anti-democratic, just fucking awful thing to do. And now they have the seat, you know, and they nominated Scalia Light or Jr. to be in there for potentially 40 fucking years, you know?
Like, yeah, I'm still amazed they got away with it. And there's a lot of different ways for people to frame it. And so on the one hand, they said this was the latest a nomination had ever come in a presidency, which is, it depends on how you look at it, because when Ronald Reagan's last nomination was initially for this guy named Bork, and his name became a verb because his name now means to get your nomination killed in the Senate.
Yeah.
So he got Borked by Ted Kennedy. And then the next nominee turned out he smoked the dojo, and so he withdrew. Smoking pot was revealed by Nina Totenberg. And the third guy was Anthony Kennedy, who's currently on the court. So Anthony Kennedy was nominated after, relatively speaking, Merrick Garland was, but he was the third guy that tried to nominate. Now, the big difference that's just important for Scalia is the guy died. He didn't retire.
Yeah.
He died. It's not like someone was trying to like do some political maneuvering and retiring at a convenient time so that, you know, the person they wanted could pick their replacement. No, the guy unexpectedly keeled over. And yeah, it's
with more than a year left in Obama's presidency.
Like, yeah, so
that's a crazy thing to me, is that, like, when he said, oh, the American people should, you know, decide, they did. They elected a Barack Obama. I really wish Barack Obama would have just, fine, well, he's on the seat. If you guys won't even have a Senate hearing to, like, debate this, then we'll just take that as your consent. Because, they had the numbers. I don't know why Republicans didn't just, you know, have the hearing and then vote against him. You know, like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's part of the craziness of this whole situation.
But that kills me, man. What do you think? Do you think that the Democrats should risk the nuclear option or just, you know, confirm?
I don't really care about I don't really care about filibuster rules. Like, they already they've already reduced the number of things that filibusters can apply to. Like, for example, you cannot filibuster executive appointments anymore.
Yeah.
And you can't filibuster lower level judicial appointments.
Yep.
It's just the Supreme Court, basically, that you can still filibuster when it comes to appointments. There's other things where you can still do it. I don't know. I mean, the Senate made up this rule about voting for cloture with 60 votes. In my opinion, it's like, well, if they want to do it, they can do it. But they really need to just decide sometime when there's not a giant controversy going on. Like, it would have been really wise at a previous time, or maybe when Bush was elected and then he lost the majority in the Senate because someone wigged out, like, when it was like 50-50, basically, they should have said, okay, let's get rid of this. You know, we can do this and agree to it or whatever. But I don't know. I think it would probably be a bad plan for the Democrats, because I guess it's a question of, do you want to play tactically and say, well, you held out on Garland, so we're going to make trouble for Gorsuch? Or are you just going to say, we're going to stick to our principles and we thought it was wrong for you to torpedo Garland, so we're not going to torpedo Gorsuch. I don't know. I mean, depends on what you think's more strategic, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to hear his, his confirmation hearing.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
He's from the West.
I mean,
he's from Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. I'm interested to see what he thinks about what the Republicans did. But I think
what
it's
do you mean? Oh.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think that the American people have to know if he's going to stand up to Trump. I mean, like, that's a scary thing that he's going, so-called federal judge, put a stay on my executive order. So-called federal judge? You've already eroded the trust in our election system. You know what I mean? Now you're going to erode the trust in the judiciary? That's crazy. And I mean, all that needs to happen is a terrorist attack and then our economy going up before people are going to be like, yeah, we don't trust Congress either. Why don't we just give you all the power then? I mean, like, it's crazy. You can start to see the avenues that this could take, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's, I don't know, man. That's scary. One thing that is nice is that the American people freaked out over Kavitz's bill to sell off federal land, public land, to the highest bidder, mm-hmm. and he removed the bill, so...
Yeah,
yay, that was I'm not. Good. That was the one thing I said I would protest and go to jail for. And
you don't have to go to jail. Way to go.
Bingo. Bingo. Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do?
I know. I don't know. I'm gonna.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you want to just let out a primal scream or anything like that?
I've done some primal screaming, yeah. So I'm good.
You're good. Oh, good.
I'm good.
Glad to hear it.
I know, man. I don't know. It's just like I all the Trump supporters, man. I don't know how they're still like.
I don't know.
Fuck Facebook. That's what I should be saying. Like, fuck you, Facebook.
It's it definitely has a thing. Yeah. It's I don't know. I just keep thinking about how technology affects our society, and it's gonna be a problem we have to kind of cope with, because we don't have a great answer for how to deal with these problems.
No.
That come up. Like fake news, like you know, because like you would think in the era when the correct information is immediately available to everyone in the world instantaneously through the web, that this would not be a problem. And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. That's right.
So,
you know,
I don't know.
It's like everybody has immediate access to the most beautiful landscapes, the most rewarding experiences in the world, and everybody instead spends all their time at the shittiest mall in like every suburb in America.
Just at the mall.
Yes. They're not even buying anything. They just go in there and just shoplift and fucking hang out. And like, meanwhile, there's people being like, look, what's all, the whole world is out here. And they're like, we don't believe that that even exists.
You lie.
Yeah. Let's go to a movie. You damn kids.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty. Yeah, I like it. I'll allow it. I'm going to allow it.
Allow it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I've been forcing myself, though, to even though it just gets me down sometimes, to keep reading. You know what I mean? Just so when somebody spouts off some stupid shit around you, you can be like, actually, you know?
Yeah. Actually, I have some facts.
Yeah. I am tired of people that don't have, like, this sounds really pretentious, but I don't care. I'm tired of people that don't have a college education questioning, like, anything that I say.
You just gave a soundbite to all the people who said those liberal coastal elites.
And you know what I have to say to that is that these liberal coastal elites, their vote counts for one, and for some reason in our system it actually counts for less than one, and that people in the middle of the country, their vote counts more, and that's not fair. You know what I mean? And it's not fair to demonize intellectuals, like, that's just playing into fucking, you know, fuck, man. I hate that shit. I hate them. California intellectual liberals. It's like, yeah, it's great out here, and it's nice being smart. How about that?
Well, let me know how that works out for you.
Well, I mean, it would work out for me if people that didn't know the difference between Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act wouldn't stop electing fucking racist wannabe authoritarians into the fucking highest office in the land.
Calm. Remain calm.
Serenity now.
There may be a time to panic.
Soon. I know. I'm could not panicking yet.
Could be later tonight. Anyway.
It's definitely just like annihilated any chance of anybody with no experience ever running for office ever again. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's well, let's hope so anyway.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. All right. Well, you know what? I have a feeling by the time we record next time, Trump will be impeached and this will all be over. So
yeah, I have a feeling that's going to come for sure. I told you this, but I think it's going to come in 2017, right before the midterm elections. So all these Republicans can reap the benefits of all the deregulation that's going to happen. And then right before the midterm elections, because people will still be really angry, they're going to be like, I voted to impeach this guy. Reelect me. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Reelect me. Put me back in.
So we have another year. Yeah, it could be. A year or so, I think.
Now, my other cynical theory is that Republicans don't care about Trump's conflict of interest, so they can keep them in reserve in case they need to dispose of him later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, because like, hey, he is breaking the law. Like, you know, it's like he could be impeached right now. Although Pelosi says, no, he can't. But like, are you sure? I mean, he has some pretty big conflicts of interest out there.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, like, so to get someone removed, the Senate has to agree with you. But impeachment is what the House says it is.
Yeah.
They have the power to convene and call the vote on the question. Like, if, yeah, it depends entirely on them. They define it.
Well, it's treason and, what are the three things? What's the other one?
Being a jerk.
High crimes.
It's pretty squishy.
Impeachment. So. There's like three things, and the third one is like whatever we want.
Also, anything.
You know, the two presidents that have been impeached.
Yeah, Johnson and Clinton.
That's right, baby.
Andrew Johnson.
That's right.
Not the more recent Johnson.
That's true. I mean, like Clinton was impeached for lying about an affair. To federal prosecutors, yeah. It is a crime, but I mean, come on, give me a break. You know?
Yep.
Well, I guess articles of impeachment were brought against Richard Nixon, but they never got...
Yeah, he quit before they could stick it to him. Okay. Though.
What were the articles? Let's see.
He would have been removed, too, not just impeached.
Oh, yeah. Making false or misleading statements to lawfully authorized... Blah, blah, blah. That's the same thing Clinton was in.
Mm-hmm.
Withholding relevant material evidence and... or information from lawfully, blah, blah, blah.
That sounds like Nixon.
Approving, condoning, acquiescing in, and counseling witness with respect to giving a false or misleading statement. Ooh.
That's every day with Trump.
Yeah. endeavoring to misuse the CIA.
Well, he doesn't like those guys, so I don't know if we have to worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, he would have definitely. That's what they all say, and that's why he's like, okay, I quit.
Well, if Trump gets impeached for any of those reasons, you'll hear about it last on Buddy Podcast.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fake news if you hear about it. We're fake.
Yeah, he'll still be in power.
We're fake news.
We'll tell you he's gone.
You know. Yeah. I think people would do well to learn the difference between an editorial and a journalism article, for sure.
That is a challenge for some people.
Like everything on Fox News and CNN and most things on CNN and MSNBC are not, it's just assume that it's editorials, you know, because it pretty much is.
or Huffington Post or Breitbart style infotainment.
Yeah. So what's the what are the newspapers you read?
So I read the Big O, the Oregonian, and then
oh, you do. I heard that one's kind of gone to shit. I was in Oregon this.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. It's but it's terrible. You know, it's the only source we have for a lot of local news stuff. And then we have I read mostly the New York Times, Washington Post, and the LA Times.
Oh, you read the LA Times? I haven't read too much of the LA Times, but I do New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and that's the big three for me. I like to put in the Wall Street. Sometimes I throw in an Economist.
Ooh.
Just because you need the conservative voices too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street Journal. And Wall Street Journal is good. It's real good.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
All right, well, let's call it a night. Let's let's call it a night.
All right, yeah, go to bed.
I will.
Your kids are adorable, by the way.
What's that?
Your kids are adorable. We saw them, when I was out there, and they're cool.
Yeah, my kids are cool.
Did you guys solve that puzzle thing?
No, actually, it got broken. A lot has happened since then.
It got broken. Because somebody was frustrated?
No, because Caleb, dropped it off the couch or something. And so, there was this spot early on where, if you put the ball through this part of the track, it would fall down, and you couldn't get past this one spot. And so, Kimberly and I were like, dang it, it's not Elias's fault that it's broken, right? And so, we're like, oh, shoot, can we get a new one? And then we found, serendipitously, someone had given us a Toys R Us gift card.
Yeah.
A while back, and we're like, oh, we have money. So we used that to buy him a replacement.
Oh,
so.
Okay. You could have fixed it. Yeah. You could have fixed it.
I really tried.
Yeah.
It's not designed to be fixed.
Oh, okay.
And basically what I found is if you attempted to open the outside part of the Death Star, you would break it.
Oh. I wonder if
that'll set you off on a whole rant. But
it's pretty Yeah, that would set me off on a rant. I'm going to resist the urge to go crazy right now on that. I've destroyed when I found out that taking something apart and it was made so that you couldn't fix it. I've lost my mind.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm not going to let myself. All right, episode 39, Buddy Podcast. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. It's good to be back.
Ramblin' and Ramblin' Rod and whatever. Is that guy still alive, Ramblin' Rod?
No.
I don't think so. Well.
No, he's gone.
All right, cool.
All right.
Not cool, whatever. He's
cool. All right.
Were you ever on that show, Ramblin' Rod?
I was, yep. I was on it.
Everybody was from Oregon.
I did not win the best smile, though.
So. Oh, see, I've won best smile.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And one time he gave everybody pins, you know, all the kids. And I put a pin right over where my wiener would be as a joke. And my mom was mortified because everybody had their pin on their chest and I had it way down low. And I was sitting in the front row. I was like, oh, who wants to watch another cartoon?
Here we go.
Google Ramblin' Rod, kids. All right.
Classic. All right. See ya.